This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. This morning, Egypt remains locked in a, quote, dangerous stalemate. That phrase comes from a grim statement issued yesterday by Secretary of State John Kerry, along with the EU's top diplomat. That follows a failure to mediate an end to the conflict between protesters backing former President Mohamed Morsi and the military that ousted him last month.
Security forces have Morsi and his associates in detention, and the government threatens to clear the streets by force. More than 250 people have already died amid the political crisis.
The U.S. says one way it influences Egypt's generals is through American military aid of $1.3 billion a year, but much of that money ends up far from the land of the Nile. Julia Simon of our Planet Money team wanted to know where exactly the money goes.
The first thing you need to know about the money we send to Egypt is we don't really send it to Egypt. Every year, the $1.3 billion in military aid appropriated by Congress is sent here, 33 Liberty Street, Manhattan, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. An official at the Department of Defense explained this to me. He says the money sits in an account somewhere inside this building for a while. Then it's sent to a trust fund at the U.S. Treasury. And from there, the money is finally dispersed to its ultimate destinations.
Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Greenland, New York, Seattle, Washington.
This is Shayna Marshall, an expert on Middle Eastern militaries at George Washington University. She's listing cities where some of the largest military contractors in the U.S. make the weapons the Egyptian military buys.
The money actually just sort of circulates within the U.S. It never actually makes it to Egypt.
Getting American-made weapons to an ally isn't that unusual. It's just that, unlike Egypt, most countries use their own money. But there's something else unusual in the Egyptian case: the equipment we're providing. Specifically, F-16 fighter jets and M1A1 Abrams tanks. Let's start with the tanks. The U.S. started sending M1A1 tanks to Egypt in the late 80s. Cost $3.9 billion for more than 1,000 tanks, which Marshall says are added to the several thousand Soviet-era tanks Egypt already has.
There's no conceivable scenario where the Egyptian army would need that many tanks short of an alien invasion.
I don't think it's a useful procurement.
Robert Springborg is an expert on the Egyptian military at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. I reached him via Skype. He says tanks might be useful for big land wars, but when it comes to Egypt's threats today, like counterterrorism and border security problems in Sinai, tanks aren't so helpful.
Of the 1,000 M1A1s, we know at least 200-250 are essentially still sitting in boxes, have really never been used.
They just put them straight in a warehouse?
Well, yeah, they're crated up, and then they are put in deep storage, and that's where they remain.
And then there's the F-16 fighter jets. Since 1980, we've sold Egypt 221 for $8 billion. Egypt now has the fourth largest fleet in the world. But Robert Springborg says Egypt really doesn't need that many F-16s. And he's not the only expert who will tell you that.
Our American military advisors in Cairo have for many years been advising against further acquisition of F-16s. Indeed, the head of our Office of Military Cooperation Defense Attaché, himself an F-16 pilot, actually advises against it on the grounds that other needs are more pressing.
That former defense attaché didn't want to be recorded for this story, but he confirmed Springborg's account. So all this raises the question, why are we giving the Egyptian military weapons that our own military personnel advise against giving? For answers, I started with the State Department. They, along with Congress, give final approval on all the weapons we send to Egypt. The State Department responded to our questions in an email. About those tanks and warehouses, they say it's not unusual for a country to, quote, maintain a portion of its equipment in reserve in the event of security contingencies. They added that helping the Egyptian military is in the U.S.'s security interests. And also, the U.S. decides which weapons to send to partners like Egypt, quote, in consultation with our partners' own determination of their strategic and force structure requirements. Meaning, part of the reason we send the Egyptian military these weapons? They say they need them. I met with a high-ranking official in the Egyptian military who confirmed that Egypt does request those tanks and fighter jets. The military feels they're necessary for Egypt's security. But at the end of the day, he said, quote, the U.S. wouldn't have given us weapons they didn't want us to have. So why does the U.S. government still want Egypt to have weapons they might not need? Partly because of guys like this.
The aid that we give to Egypt is coming back to the U.S. and keeping 30 of my people working.
This is Bruce Barron, president of Barron Industries, a small business in Oxford, Michigan. 30 of his 57 employees are working on parts for those tanks that we give to Egypt. And Barron says that the past few years, every March, he and other small business owners have gone to Capitol Hill at the invitation of the larger contractor, General Dynamics.
We usually take that opportunity to go and make visits to our congressmen and let them know of our support for some of these programs and also the impact that these programs have on employment in their state and in their region.
Former Republican Congressman Jim Colby often received visits from military contractors like Bruce Barron. Before he retired in 2007, Colby was the chair of the Appropriations Subcommittee that approves the military aid we give to Egypt. And he says, in a perfect world, the U.S. wouldn't be sending more F-16s and more M1A1s to Egypt today.
I think that legitimate questions need to be asked of the Egyptian military. What is the objective? What is the mission of the military these days? What do you see as the real threats? And I think the Egyptian military needs to be doing a little bit more hard thinking about some of those things. But, you know, big toys are things that generals and military people like to have around.
As Colby knows, aid to Egypt is a complex proposition. He says the State Department doesn't want to upset the status quo. The Defense Department doesn't want to upset a valuable ally in the region. And, of course, contractors want to keep their contracts.
So everybody really has an interest in keeping things the way they are. Changing things, whether it's in this or any other part of government, is often the most difficult thing to do.
Stability, Colby says. That's what everybody wants in the U.S. relationship with the Egyptian military. For NPR News, I'm Julia Simon.